and welcome to Film Kid Asks, the podcast where I ask questions to working professionals in the film industry from the perspective of someone just getting started. My name is Jordan, and today I'm joined by first assistant director from projects like Ready or Not, American Gods, and Orphan Black, Joanna Moore. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
So you did the film program at Humber. How was your experience in film school?
I did do the film program at Humber. I had a great time. I initially went to university. I went to Carleton University first, and I never felt like university was going to be the right place for me. Just the theory and the fact that it wasn't hands-on and practical. So I always felt like I wanted to do something like that. So I then went to Humber College and found that because it was very hands-on and we were immediately doing projects and working together and, you know, building that sense of community, it was a phenomenal life experience. Did it in any way prepare me for working in film? I'd say no, but it was definitely a moment in time that I absolutely treasure. And I'm so glad that I went there and met the people that I met and had the experiences that I did. And that was just, you know, invaluable.
That's so great. So what drew you originally to film? Like, what made you decide to take that leap into the film program?
Well, I went to Carleton. I went to Carleton for journalism because I'd always liked writing. And I thought, you know, this is great. It's a program that I think will really appeal to me. I had taken it at the time, which was early 90s. It was very print-based. And I just, you know, the internet was very new. And I just thought, like, this seems like a dinosaur. This doesn't seem like this is the way things are going. So I left that program and took a year off. And then I really wanted to go back to school. And I thought, well, what are the things that I love doing? Well, I love writing. I love photography. I love performance. So there were so many things that kind of, you know, encapsulated all that was film and television. So that's sort of how I fell into it.
Sounds a little bit like my experience. But yeah, for those who don't know, because I think there is a little bit of a lack of visibility at first, especially because in a lot of student projects, the assistant director department gets put onto one person, smaller projects. So what is the role of the first assistant director specifically?
Okay. So what I do is I'll get a script, read the script and break it down, which essentially means just pulling out all of the elements of the script, the scene, the locations, the actors, all of those things. And then I input it and create a schedule. When I work in series, we usually have a specific time frame that we need to work under. So sometimes it's 9 days. So within that script, I'll break it down into a 9-day shoot. Over the course of prep, we'll start breaking down the script even more into finer details and work out what those elements that we would require, working closely with the director and the producers to create what and help them facilitate what their vision is going to be. And then on the day, it's running the ship. It's keeping everything moving forward and keeping everyone in a positive, motivated headspace and just, you know, making your days hopefully on time and on budget would be the living the dream.
Yeah, that's the goal for sure. So kind of going off of that, how do you work with the other assistant directors in the assistant director department?
Well, so for example, second AD, for the second AD in prep, they work on the prep schedule, which is essentially organizing and scheduling all of the meetings that would happen during the course of prep. I'm more of the big picture, breaking down the script and looking at how we're going to shoot things and how we're going to put those together. And then when we go to camera, the second AD is really the day ahead AD. So they're putting together the call sheet. They're looking to see what all those details that need to be put in place so that we can get the next day's shooting done. And I'm the one who's the today AD. So I'm the one who's moving the ship forward for that day. And also at the same time, looking at the big picture of how things may need to change as we move forward. And then the rest of the department, there's, you know, usually a trailer AD who is the one who's meeting greeting cast, putting them through hair makeup. There's a myriad of PAs that help with lockups and with, you know, getting people things. And, you know, so there's certainly a lot of people in the department that help us move the ship forward.
For sure. So What are some skills that a person should have to do well as a first AD specifically?
I think one of the key skills that you need is patience. Patience is key. And empathy, putting yourself in other people's places, and keeping a really positive attitude, because it can be a little bit of a pressure cooker. It can be a little bit stressful, depending on the director and the director of photography you're working with. We're sort of the trifecta. We're the three people who are, you know, working to make this vision happen. That it can be challenging, especially when you're under pressure for time or, you know, something's gone wrong. So just, you know, keeping a cool head and keeping a positive attitude is huge. It's really huge. And then also knowing that, you know, you're not in it alone, that there is a team of people there that are, you know, you can problem solve together as a group, that it's not all on your shoulders. But definitely positive attitude totally helps.
For sure. So I think that's especially true because being an AD can sometimes be a little bit of a thankless job because you kind of have to be the bad guy sometimes. So what are some of the most fulfilling parts to you?
That question makes me laugh so hard. I feel like if you're doing the job right, it's totally not thankless at all.
That's like good. That's so good.
You don't have to be the bad guy. Like, that's the thing. I think that if you're doing the job properly, if you're prepping properly, if you're looking in advance and seeing where the problems are going to be and solving them before they happen, you don't have to be a bad guy. You know, right. You've worked it all out in advance. And then you can keep things positive moving forward, and people appreciate that. They want somebody who's going to help you go, team, let's get it done. So, I mean, I don't think my job is thankless at all. I really love it. And I find it does, it's very, very fulfilling. And a lot of it is, I get a lot of, you know, very positive feedback from it. So, with the second part of the question, I got all hung up on the
part. Just what are some of the most fulfilling parts?
I think I do love the problem solving of it. So I love problem solving when you get a script and you're like, how are we going to shoot this? It's just, you know, and putting that together and trying to figure out how you can make it fit within the parameters that you have. It's like a puzzle. So I love that. I love working with the myriad of departments that we interface with on a daily basis to try and figure out how you do certain things. So on a show like American Gods, that is very high concept, and there's lots of things that happen that require a multitude of departments working together, to be at the center of that, helping problem solve and helping figuring out how you're going to shoot things is so fun. And then, you know, making your days and being with people, the sense of community that working in film fosters, I love. And so there's a lot that keeps me going, for sure.
That's awesome. So what are some of the most creative parts of the job to you?
There's I think a few different ways that you can look at the creative aspects. There's the more the logistical, like, how can we be creative and how we schedule this and how can we, like, that arm of creativity. But then there is, especially working on series and more getting scripts that don't necessarily fit into the parameters that you need them to fit into. A fun part of what I'm able to do on a lot of shows is work with the writers and producers and creatively adjusting the script so that we can keep the essence of the story and keep everything that we want, but make it more fit in the box that we needed to fit into.
Right.
And those skills are really honed, I think, on Orphan Black, because we had these champagne tastes, beer budgets. And so you'd get these scripts and be like, there's no way we can do this. And so you'd have to, you know, come back and say, well, we can't do this, but what about that? And the one thing that I learned is I'd never approach a producer or a writer and say, this isn't shootable. Like, we just can't do this. That if I can't come up with a concept that I think that they'll gravitate towards in lieu of, then I got to work harder on the board. I have to work harder on the schedule. So a lot of it was just coming up with creative, you know, spins on the scenes, you know, how we can shoot them in different location, maybe a different time of day, you know, keeping the essence of what the story is, but having it fit into whatever parameters that we have for that particular shoot. So, and it's incredibly gratifying to see, you know, your work, you get the script revisions, and you're like, oh, that was my idea. So that's fun.
That's awesome. Yeah, I can totally see that. So kind of going off of that, but the opposite, what are some of the hardest parts of the job?
I was thinking about this because I find my job incredibly rewarding and I really love it. So there are very few aspects of it that I find challenging, especially now that I've been doing it for a number of years. I think when I initially started, it was that intimidation of putting the schedule together and is this going to make sense? You know, are we going to be able to pull this off? But as I've been doing it for a number of years, that isn't the challenges that I feel that it's not the same level of challenge, obviously, that it was initially. I think the hardest part for me is really the hours. And it's not that they're impossible, but what I find more and more as I get older and as my perspective on life changes and what my priorities are, I find that there's this old sort of cowboy mentality of, you know, we shoot 18 hours and yeah, we can do anything. And it's like, yeah, you can, but it's diminishing returns. You're not getting the best performance out of people when they're exhausted. It's not healthy. And it's quality of life. It's like, you know, do you really want to spend 18 hours a day in a dusty studio in the dark? Like that's living the dream for you. So I think that to work on shows that really have and understand balance is sort of the direction that I, you know, that I've been looking at more and more. So that is really the challenging thing. And it has been changing a lot over the past few years. There are a lot more regulations in place and a lot more producers are cognizant of how unhelpful super long hours actually are. So I've been lucky to work on a lot of shows that are like, you know, we do 12 hours and that's it. And then sometimes you work on shows where like, you just shoot till you get it done.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. I mean, maybe hopefully COVID will help push that in the right direction, but
I feel like if there's a silver lining to this, my hope is it will, because it really is a health issue and people aren't at their healthiest when they're exhausted. So good night's sleep is a great thing. Who doesn't like sleep? Come on, guys.
For sure. So what do you do? This is switching gears a bit, but what do you do to quickly be able to work with new directors every episode or block when you're on a television project?
I feel like I don't think I consciously do anything. I've been lucky the last few years, the series that I do, the first day of my prep is a travel day for the director, and most of the directors are traveling in out of town. So the first day of prep, I don't have a director that I need to, you know, be with and work with and talk to, that I can really just spend that day reading the script, digesting it, seeing where the holes might be, the things that we'll really need to dig into and figure out. So I think that helps a little bit. And then maybe subconsciously, I probably do a big data dump where it's like, that's a wrap on episode. You're like, okay, see you later. And then you're on to the next person. So, but yeah, that day is fantastic. It's like the best day of prep. The calm before the storm.
Yeah. So, and obviously like that's a huge part of prep, and obviously different directors will have different approaches, but also on set, how does that affect the way that you approach ADing and your presence on set, working with different directors that may have different kind of personalities and ways that they run their own set?
Oh, for sure. I find for what I do, and the most important aspect of my job for the director is really helping them do their job. So, and really in helping performance, helping with the cast, and helping create an environment in which he or she can work with the actors and they can get the thing that they need to get done. So in terms of how I run the floor, it doesn't vary necessarily too much from director to director. I just run the floor, and there's very few directors who want to do that. You know, they want to be directing. They want to be directing the actors. They want to be working with the DP. They don't want to be running the floor. That's, you know, that's boots on the ground. That's my job. Exactly. So
how do you, you know, speaking of running the set, how do you create a positive and productive environment on the set so that, you know, as the person running it, so that it's a productive environment and a creative environment? And, you know, obviously there needs to be a level of control, but also everyone's having a good time to a degree. That's the idea.
Controlled happiness. It's definitely, it's attitude. It's coming in with a very positive attitude. And, and I'm a bit of a bossy boots, but in a very positive way. So I'll move people forward, but not in a way that's going to get people's backs up. So being very receptive to other people. It is really just tone. It's tone. It's positive tone and, firm but positive. And I'm not a pushover by any stretch. Like, we're going to do this and we're going to do now, and that's the way it's going to be. But it's going to be with a smile on our faces, guys. So it's keeping that positive, certainly, vibe helps immensely. And listening, listening to department heads and understanding what the concerns are and what the requirements are and being cognizant of that and really looking ahead and seeing where there may be some bumps in the road that you can problem solve before the problem becomes a problem. All of those things really help in moving things in that direction.
Yeah, for sure. So you've worked on both television and film sets. How does your role change in those different formats?
It doesn't too much. I think it's really just, for me, working on series feels more like sprints because you do, 8 or 9 days prep, 8 or 9 days shoot. And so you're constantly pivoting back and forth, whereas movies are more marathons. It's, these extended preps. And then some of the movies I've worked on were, 75 days. And then that is, that's your life for almost a year. When you boil it all down with hiatuses and weekends and that, it's 8 months later and you've given your whole life to it. And I find, for me, the actual job is the same, but emotionally, it takes a different toll on me, where I find at the end of a movie, I'm very emotionally drained because you give everything to the show that you're working on and it becomes a family and it becomes this community and it's everything for, 8 months. And then you're like, that's a wrap. Have a nice life. So it was very hard for me to do films because of that. And where I find series is a little bit more manageable in terms of that emotional commitment. But, it's not, that's just me. That's not everybody.
No, but I think that's very interesting because, that is true. It does feel like a very close-knit community, but I imagine it might be the same as well for a TV show, but there's always the hope that it gets renewed. So I could see.
Well, exactly. And I've worked on a few shows that I've done several seasons on. And as you work in this industry, especially in Toronto, that it does get, it's a smaller community. So you do get to know people and you see the same people over and over again. Whereas a lot of the films that I worked on when I was doing bigger features, it would be in Vancouver or I'd be in Alberta or I'd be here. So it was people that I was meeting and then really maybe one or two that I'd see again, but not everybody. So different feeling for sure.
That makes sense. So as a professional AD, what advice could you give to students on actually running sets?
I think that the most important thing you can think about is prep and reading the script and breaking down the script and really foreseeing what those elements that you're going to be requiring when you're running the floor. Because if you have everything in place, it's far easier to keep things on the go. And if you have a plan, it's a lot easier to pivot from that plan when something goes wrong than if you're just flying by the seat of your pants to begin with. Timelines are great. Timelines are important when you're looking at your day and you're going through it all that you think, okay, we'll spend 3 hours here, we'll spend 4 hours there. And then when you break it up into chunks like that, you can really gauge throughout the day how far off track you are and where you'll need to make efficiencies later in the day or whether you'll be able to spend more time on something else. And I think the key when you're scheduling things really is if you can schedule those heavy hitting scenes and the scenes that you know are going to take a lot of time first thing in the morning, the first scenes that you do at the top of the day, so that if they do go over, what you're finishing with your day is something simple that perhaps you could make a one-er, or do you really even need that scene to tell the story? So really schedule in terms of that as well helps.
Yeah, for sure. That totally makes sense. So again, switching gears a little bit, you also direct. So how has being an AD influenced the way that you approach your projects?
I was thinking about this question, and I think that the question for me, because I really just started directing, is more, what are the AD jobs that I'm taking to help me get into directing, is sort of the thing that I'm doing now. And I'm looking at shows that seem to, or have the potential to run multiple seasons. Are they shows that have a second unit or a splinter unit that they require a director on? Or are they a smaller show that are willing to take a chance on somebody new? So those are more of the projects that I'm looking at in terms of being assistant director. And that's where I'm getting the opportunities from, is in those little pockets.
Right. The shows that give you a chance for like upward mobility a little bit with that.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe doing second unit at first, and then So as a first AD, you're able to spend a lot of time on sets with some very talented directors and crew, which obviously is a great way to train and learn and all of that. So what are some of the most valuable things that you've picked up from those people?
Patience, again, and listening to people. Just being attentive and really listening, really seeing what they're saying is huge. I feel like I've learned a lot from terrible people of what not to do. That's been... my memory is like more very specific on, you know, being on sets with horrible people where I'm like, okay, never do that. That's not how you should treat people. Okay, got it. I'll never do that. So that's, you know, but again, the best ADs that I've worked with have all had positive attitudes, have been really patient. Don't let, you know, the stress of the job show or, you know, taking it out on anybody else. So those are the people that I admired the most who did my job before I started doing it. Those were their traits that I really appreciated and picked up on.
For sure. As students, when we're juggling the roles of all the AD department on a small project, what are some of the most important things to keep in mind in order to make the project run as successfully as possible? Obviously, prep is a huge one, but is there anything specific? Yeah.
I think, as I said, just the tip of scheduling like heavy hitters first up is a really good one. And timelining, again, is huge. And it's not like you have to adhere to it. And for heaven's sakes, don't show everybody your timeline. But, you know, the key people, the director, the DP, you know, the producers, it's your little document. And then everyone knows what track you need to take. Rehearsals, you know, having rehearsals scheduled with the director and the actors take a lot of time off of the day during the day. If they come in dialed in and know the intent and the tone and, you know, where that character was and where that character is going, that takes a huge amount of time off of your shoot day. And, you know, if you do have the luxury to storyboard, that's always great. But shot listing, if you don't, just knowing what the shots are and knowing how you're going to tackle them. When I get a shot list ahead of time, I'll always look at it and with the DP figure out what the best order to shoot these shots to make it the most efficient as possible, but also looking at how it's going to affect the actors. So you don't want to just be efficient for efficiency's sake. There is the performance component that you really have to take to heart, and what's going to bring out the best performance may not necessarily be the most efficient way to shoot it. So there is that balance that you have to look at. So all those things are things you should look at.
For sure. Those are great to keep in mind. And I just AD'd my first short project. So that's definitely something that like on the next one, I will definitely keep in mind. so I appreciate that. So do you have any advice for people who are aspiring to be in your position one day?
I think, you know, get out there, start PAing. Again, positive attitude, be willing to work hard, put your phone down. That's a good one. You know, just be willing to take the initiative. I'm always really impressed when PAs come to set and I look over and they're cleaning out the set box or changing over the hot batteries for the walkies or, you know, things like that. And just positive attitude goes a long way.
Positive and proactive.
Right?
The two P's.
P squared. Right.
Yes. Yeah. All right. So now I'm going to open it up to a few of my friends so that they have the opportunity to ask you some questions.
Okay.
I'm always curious about people's time commitments to their jobs and the lifestyle they've chosen. And I'm just wondering if you like the way your job works in that there's a ton of work and then, you know, these big troughs of nothing, or if sometimes you're a little bit wishing for that steadier pace of life?
I could never do an office job. So that really takes a lot of jobs right off the table for me. And I'm not really good at manual labor. So again, it just gets really narrow in terms of what I can actually do. I love what I do. And I've been fortunate. It's the fortunate misfortune in the last 5 to 7 years that I haven't stopped, but it's been show to show to show. Mm-hmm. And you have this sort of feast or famine mentality where you get the job offer and you have to take it because when's the next job going to be? And then you get to the end of that job and then there's another job offer. Yeah. And you just have to be, you know, understand that there will be jobs and take time off when you need to take time off. That's the really harkens back to the hours. And I think that that's evolving and that I think will change a lot of people's balance. And that's the only thing that really I don't love about it because I do have a family. I have kids. I like them. I like spending time with them. Yeah. So it is, you know, it's that balance is very tricky and there's just not a lot of sleep. when you're, you know, a mom and a first AD, you just don't sleep.
No. Yeah. Thank you. So,
no problem.
So my question is, if somebody is being uncooperative or something's not going how you want it to be going, how do you approach that in a way that is like, not necessarily stepping on anyone's toes too much? Like, how do you push things forwards without, like, kind of being...
Oh, you cut out.
Like a cliffhanger. I get the gist of what you're talking about. It's certainly situational. It depends on who the person is and what the situation is. I find that there's a lot during the day, and especially with the higher concept shows I do, where things just go south. They just, you know, you're working and something happens and you have to pivot. And when it's not about a person and it's about a situation, it's a lot easier to react. You know, you're talking to the producers, the directors, all right, well, we can't shoot this. Why don't we shoot this? We've got the actors here. We've got this. We can still keep going. And it's about keeping that forward momentum. There's very few instances where you're going to run into somebody who is not going to be cooperative with the situation because, you know, especially if you're transparent and very communicative ahead of time and everybody knows what the situation is and everybody knows the game plan. I find that when I do get people who have gotten their back up for whatever reason or run into a situation where there has been a little bit of a disagreement, it's usually because they haven't been forewarned properly. They don't know what was really expected of them. And that's when it comes out. So if you get ahead of that, you know, with actors, you're telling actors, all right, next week, you got that scene with your shirt off, you know, if you want to start shredding, you know, you got to get on that. And just making sure that people know ahead of time, it really solves a multitude of issues. But again, it is, you know, it's listening to people and taking in what they're saying and just working within, you know, whatever the situation is, but very few times you're going to run across a genuine asshole. Like, it's just, there aren't a lot of them because people who are jerks, they, you know, they don't work as much because people don't want to work with them. So for the most part, like 99% of the time, you're just going to get people with positive attitudes who are really super happy to be there, in my experience. So maybe I'm lucky.
I have a small question. As like students, what did you wish you knew when you were starting out?
Oh, that's such a good question. I'm not sure because I think that, you know, whatever your situation is and however you progress is sort of in my mind is where you need to be to get to be where you're going to be going. So, I mean, when I started out, I did a ton of cold calls. It was a different atmosphere. The internet wasn't really big. People didn't really have emails. You had to go in person to introduce yourself to people. It was horribly awkward all the time. But I think just knowing that, you know, that for the most part, people in this industry are pretty cool. So, you know, there is that intimidation factor of going in and introducing yourself to people, but I think for the most part, people really appreciate it. So, you know, just not being as fearful or intimidated, which is easier said than done sometimes, but, you know, just getting your face out there, getting your name out there and, you know, making sure people see you. And I think the one thing that I probably would have done a little bit differently, because I basically started working right away. I started working as assistant director right away. I think that I would have spent more time creating. I think I would have spent more time doing my own thing, doing my own short films, doing all of the storytelling that I didn't get a real opportunity to do because I was such a workhorse for so long. And I think take that moment because, you know, the jobs will be there, the PAing, the things like that, you can, you know, those will find you. But to have the moment to be able to storytell and create, and if this is that moment in your life, take advantage of it. Tell your story.
Thank you so much. This is really good advice.
So this one is from someone who couldn't be here today. They submitted this question. So hypothetically, if you were in a situation where you closed the window on a director's finger, say, for example, what would you do in that situation? How would you react to that?
You know what I would definitely not do? I wouldn't laugh. I would definitely not laugh. Oh my gosh.
Great advice.
That is hilarious. Well, that's a fun story. I mean, it was all his fault. So there's that. But I should tell the story of what it is, because it is very out of context. But it was your dad who I was ADing for, and we were driving from one location. I was driving him from the first location to the second location. And as we pulled up to the location, out of nowhere, there was like a two-story red igloo that had just, you know, appeared overnight in the shot, right? So clearly he got out of the car and was like, what the? And as he got out of the car, he was holding the door window, and I had the windows rolled down because it was summer. So I didn't realize his hand was in the window, and I rolled it up with his finger in there, but he pulled it out. He shouldn't have pulled it out. He should have just left it there. He pulled That's it out true. and then broke it. And yeah, now I think it's permanently bent. I do email him every once in a while, how's your finger? And then he'll send me a picture back of it, like all crooked. But the thing he didn't do, he didn't go to the doctor. I was like, dude, you got to go to the hospital. You have to get that set. And he's like, no, we'll just keep shooting. I was like, oh my God.
No, it drives my sister insane. She's like, you're so dumb. You should have just gotten it set because now it's going to be like that forever. Yeah. He wanted me to ask you that.
Oh my gosh.
All right.
I do feel bad. I felt so terrible.
Oh my gosh. No, he knows that. He knows. Okay. So before we wrap this up, I did ask you to prepare 5 film recommendations of films that either inspired you or that you really enjoy or that you think were executed well. So I'm going to ask you to kind of walk us through that and explain those choices.
Man, this was the hardest question. I was like having anxiety over this one. Okay, I have way more than 5, but a few choice few here. Singing in the Rain, amazing musical, love it. It's a movie from my childhood. It was fantastic. The Shining, one of the best horror movies, beautifully shot, amazingly executed. Room with a View was a great adaptation of a book by Ian Forster, which was one of my favorite books. And I thought they did a really great job creating the movie. Seen it a million times, Hopeless Romantic. Philadelphia Story with Cary Grant, Jimmy Stewart, and fantastic. I love that movie. You should see that movie. It's so great. It's a classic. It's wonderful. Absurdist Brazil. That's like just amazing. With Nail and I was fantastic and funny and great. How to Get Ahead in Advertising, again, absurd, fantastic movie. Cool Hand Luke, loved it. Network, if you haven't seen it, you should see Network. Amazingly directed, amazingly performed. Roman Holiday. I thought Logan was like one of the best superhero movies. It was just so human and wonderful, and it was a great story. E.T., because that's of my childhood, and how can you not love E.T.? There's a million more, and I'm not going to go through them, but there is, you know, it was like, what's your favorite song? Like, I don't know. There's too many. And all for different reasons. And,
I know, it's a cruel question. Mostly it's just to keep it time effective, but no, it's a very hard question to answer, but thank you so much for sharing those movies, all 20 of them. And then also, of course, for answering all those questions and for sharing your insight and knowledge. I really appreciate it, as do everyone on this call, I'm sure. And thanks to those who ask questions as well. But that is all for this episode of Film Kid Asks. Be sure to subscribe and feel free to follow us on Twitter and Instagram, or join our Facebook group. New episodes come out every Saturday.